Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. It's the 27th of October, 2005. And, John, you're still with me, right?
Oh, yes.
Listen, my feeling about all this is, at this point in time, the best way to galvanize and to get more people on board in understanding the big picture in place is to expose weather modification.
Hey, man, I agree with you. I converted two people just this week. Never heard about chemtrails. They worked with me outdoors. Now they know about chemtrails. I think that's the easiest way to get people started. And then all this other stuff, they'll ask, next time you say something, they'll do research on it, Agenda 21 and Skull and Bones. But the chemtrails right in your face.
Absolutely. And the statement by William Cohen, made in 1997 about ecoterrorism, the fact that hurricanes and storms can be created, earthquakes can be created. I mean, you know, the bottom line is when he makes that statement back in 1997, that gives a lot of credibility to the fact that it exists to those that aren't understanding the big picture.
Exactly. And the one person I told, he talked to 10 people that day and pointed up to the sky, and there they were. And so it really helps. It's I think the easiest thing for people to say, it has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat, or it just has to do with their error and their sky above them. And it begins them to do some research and looking into the what's going on.
Yeah, very good.
And I talk to everybody about chemtrails. So
yes.
If I'm stopping on I stopped on the side of a road stop on the highway, and everyone's talking about how nice the day was. I said, yeah, except for those chemtrail planes. I pretty soon I had everybody looking up, and it's very easy to convert when it's right in their face.
Absolutely, and the fact that these hurricanes could have been steered out of harm's way.
Exactly, Mr. Livingston.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And others. Jim McCanney is another one that comes to my mind.
Right.
The fact that they can be steered out of harm's way, but yet they came into harm's way and devastated so many communities in the southeast region. I use that UN word, region. It's very, very paramount that others get on board to expose this to their legislators and let them know we're not buying this anymore.
Do you know who Joyce Riley is?
Yes.
Well, she had a letter sent to her earlier this week by some people up in Canada who say they are going to be coming out and exposing the Tesla technology that's being used and that they've been battling and fighting to try to control what the devil doers are doing with their technology. And she gave a website out. It's Ultra Teslon. .com. That's ULTRA. Teslon is TESLON or LAN. The shortwave wasn't clear, but I'm sure if you end up going to her site, thepowerhour.com, these people, she says, are legit, and they're coming out and exposing this technology that's being used against us. So,
okay.
There's a group that's right on board with you, but they're ready to take their forces and do something about it.
Very good, John. Thank you for your participation.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye now. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Stay with us. I saved the September 11th, 2005 front edition of the paper of the Oklahoman. I saved it. I never opened it. I never opened the front page of September 11th, 2005. Certainly, you know the significance of September 11th. I only covered the front page whenever I covered any of it on the air and off the air. I never opened the front section of September 11, 2005. But in here, they talk about engineers predicting new look for Big Easy. Right during this aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, making peace in the ruins, it's called. And say they say here, while Americans watch the worst of New Orleans unfold, some experts insist the great jazz city can be rebuilt better than before. But cleaning up this mess likely will take years, with a new city slowly emerging in phases and wetlands replacing flood-prone areas. And you've heard me say this before, I'm sure a lot of you regular listeners. But this would be a good day to dissect the front section of the September 11th edition of the Oklahoman. Jeff in New Mexico, welcome to the broadcast, Jeff.
Yeah, Chris, I looked into Habitat for Humanity, and my train of thought on that was that, like right now I'm unemployed, and in this area so many of these construction crews are Spanish-speaking. But anyway... And I thought Habitat Humanity would be more kind of people I could get along with on a job. But I think this Habitat for Humanity is more Agenda 21-ish than biblical, because Habitat for Humanity wants a lot of private information on your assets before they'll put you on a list to get one of their sweat equity houses.
I'm sure that's the case.
So they can arbitrarily decide... If you are poor and they won't pay you cash by sunset daily, like the Bible says, for your work, if you're poor and needy, even if you'd only ask for $4 an hour and everybody knows you aren't a Sam Walton heir type person in the community, or Rockefeller heir, or Johnny Cash heir, or even a local wealthy small businessman heir type person.
You notice the World Series, they had on the backstop, 1-800-HABITAT.
Oh, they did?
Yes, they did, during the World Series. 1-800-HABITAT. And that's all about the rebuilding process and the money they require for it, I'm sure.
Yeah, we should, or somebody should start an alternative house-building charity, you know, so us non-Spanish-speaking workers could have our own contractor crews and stuff.
That would be logical.
You know, and people laugh at me when I... classify myself as poor because I can't afford a private jet and to spend, I don't know if you heard this on the news about the guy that spent over $200,000 on a corporate credit card at a strip club for lap dances, I suppose, and stuff.
Well, that does not make a whole lot of sense, does it?
Yeah, I consider myself poor because I can't afford to spend $200,000 on some gold digger wife. But I think when Bible talked about paying a hired man by sunset daily if he is poor and needy, I think needy means things like being landless, or, you know, a small amount of land, or wifeless, etc., not just not enough money for food. And I'd like to do research on how many Americans own and operate private jets or pay pilots to operate one or have timeshare arrangements on private corporate jets. I think there's a lot of rich people out there, and Habitat for Humanities, they're just arbitrarily trying to tell you what's poor they want. So.
Well, there's no problem with people becoming successful and becoming rich off being successful. There's no problem with that. It's just that when people are given payoffs to be successful, to follow the UN line and direction, that's where you got to be careful. And I think a perfect example of that would be Ross Perot. And his connection to Rockefeller.
Yeah.
So I think, you don't want people to not be able to be successful in America. And slowly but surely, that is becoming ever more difficult because business and industry has gone below the border and overseas to justify the small labor rate of the foreign countries to produce products.
Well, I said to this lady at Habitat for Humanity that, you know, these really rich people that inherit $1 billion and they don't want to spend one penny on income tax, inheritance tax for inheriting $1 billion. They could give them an option, you know, either pay the tax or donate it to something like an alternative house building charity, you know, so people like me could have a job and get along with people and make a little money and
Most
and
of these
then
rich
they,
people.
They could lower their tax by, if they make a charity, like $2 less tax for every $1 they put into something like Better Than Habitat.
I just don't like control. The IRS control, the IMF control, the manipulative process that have made our jobs disappear in America. It's all been designed. Many leaders of corporations have been members of the Council on Foreign Relations that believe in a global governance system. And that's where the crux of the problem lies, Jeff. I appreciate your thoughts, my friend.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, boy. You know, free enterprise is not to be discarded in America, and it is being discarded under the corporate governmental system and regulation. That is the big problem that we have. Vicki, welcome to the broadcast, Vicki.
Hi, Chris. I just wanted to remind you that it's UNESCO's decade of sustainable development for education. So they're integrating Agenda 21 into the curriculum in our schools. So they're coming at us from all sides, you know, and that they're indoctrinating children into this, putting the environment first over and above people. So, you know, no matter where you look, they're coming at us in all directions. So that's all I wanted to tell you. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I appreciate it. This is very paramount to understand. It's coming at us from every side in every direction, correct?
Yep. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Vicki.
Bye-bye.
Keep in mind the shortwave. If you're having trouble receiving the shortwave, tune it down to 11.915, 11.915, and it should come in much more clearer for you. And let's see what Sam has to say. Hello, Sam. How are you today?
Hey, we're doing just fine, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm okay, except I feel kind of naked without my computer.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, this is an interesting show. You get two of us in one day. First you get one, now you got the other one calling in. So
yeah, well, that's a good day to do it.
Yeah, well,
especially coming from you.
Well, I appreciate
you've
that.
You've done your homework.
Well, I want to make some comments about the preceding call, Jeff, a while ago. That this is a socialist mindset we get into when you start going down this beating up on the rich. Being rich itself is not a problem. The problem is when those people who get rich do everything they can to block the path of those people who are trying to climb the ladder to better themselves and their families from success. And this is what we have. We have the elite in this country. See, the elite are the very problem. See, Jeff was talking about how you need, you know, how, you know, the rich need to be forced to pay, you know, inheritance tax, for example, or donate to, you know, some alternative building fund or whatever the case is. That's similar to what he said a while ago. And,
right.
And the only problem I have with that is there again, as you put it, who's controlling it? It's the elite who's controlling it. What are the elite going to do? The elite are going to do everything they can to circle the wagons in their favor if we're not careful. See, this is where the problem with the control comes in. And this is, if you ever notice, for example, how you hear the same old argument, and this particularly comes from the Democrats, which are reality, the other leg of the same single-party system, but they used to use that mantra about the rich all the time. And the one thing I always tell people when they start going down this road, define rich, because and we have to be very careful when we start pointing fingers at people who we say are rich, because the UN, for example, defines rich a lot differently than what we do here in the United States. The last I knew, anybody who makes more than $11,000 a year is considered rich according to the UN standards. And so,
you're kidding.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. That's not even, I don't even know what the current status is now, but that's what it was originally, and this is where
wow.
This is where I have a problem with us out here doing this, because define rich. You know, rich is not where you can just pull a magic number out of the hat, Chris, and say, okay, there's the magic number at which point somebody is rich.
There you go. The ultimate destruction of the middle class is the goal here, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And see, here's the thing. The United Nations considers the middle class rich, and just like the Democrats did, and of course increasingly more and more Republicans who buy into the same socialist agenda. So you remember, in socialism, folks, nobody has any incentive to do anything, and this is why in socialist countries and in communist countries, nobody has any incentive to do anything to better things. And this is why I have such a problem, Chris, with the environmentalist movement. People left to a truly free market system would better the environment by osmosis, because it's in their best interest, just like it is ours. We don't need the government involved in it.
Okay, let's hold you over to continue with these thoughts. Very important thoughts, listeners, from Sam. And understanding this is very, very vital. We'll be back to continue. Stay here. Keep in mind, if you're having frequency problems with the shortwave, go down to 11915 on WWRB, 11915. It should clear up for you in many respects. So, Sam, you're making some poignant statements here. Let's continue with your direction.
Oh, absolutely. Let's take this down to a real simple level of true free enterprise. And true free enterprise, and see, this is where things have gotten blurred. You got capitalism versus communism versus free enterprise. And capitalism is essentially what you have, where we have now major corporations just ever growing and wiping out the mom and pop businesses in a given community that can't keep up, because they don't have nearly the ability to cover the overhead that the big corporations do. In a true free enterprise environment, I come to you. If you have a service, I come to you. I buy that service or that product. I'm happy with the product. You're satisfied with my with what I paid for the product, and we walk away and we shake hands. And as far as how much money you have, as far as your own, that's your own private matter. As far as the money that you've accumulated, through hard work and hard labor. Poor people don't start businesses. Rich people do. It's what the rich people, it's how the rich people block the ability of somebody else to come up the ladder is the problem that we have. And I'm not saying all rich people do it. I mean, I've met some nice rich people and there's some greedy rich people. But the problem you get is, There are those who are out there, like in the case of the Rockefellers and various other people, who they've made their millions and millions of dollars, and they circle the wagons so that we here in America are brought down to third world status, so that they can live off the top and scrape all the resources out of our hands and use us as resources for their disposal. And they live like kings off of the stuff that we do. And this is where the problem is. I mean, if in free enterprise, Chris, I'm happy with a product that I get from you or that you buy from me. I pay for it. I like your prices. We shake hands, and I continue to do business with you because I like you as a person in the business community.
Yes.
And see, there's what we've forgotten. We've forgotten about the fact that it all hinges on honest dealings. We have a choice in society. We can make up our minds that we're going to do things to better mankind, provide services that can better mankind, or we're going to provide services that make mankind more miserable. This is where we get into the population control agenda and the elite trying to do everything they can to deplete the population, make the population sick or whatever. Those are the people that have chosen to make life for mankind more miserable. And I don't know about everybody else, but I would much rather be a person that does everything that I can to benefit mankind, because not only am I going to be well received by the people that truly know me, but when I'm ready to die and leave the face of this earth, I want to be remembered for the contribution that I made in a positive manner to mankind, not something on the negative scale.
That makes sense. It makes perfect sense, and the UN system doesn't want to understand your perfect sense.
Well, and see, that's the thing, and we as Americans need to get back to that. The problem is we lived under this greed-based system for so long that there's too many of us out here in the private sector who are starting to buy into the same behavior, and we can't hope to turn this country around until we make up our minds that we're going to treat our fellow man the way we want to be treated.
Yeah.
It's so simple to be so hard.
It is, and when you said the annual yearly income for a rich person in the UN's eyes is what?
The last I heard, and this was like about 4 or 5 years ago, $11,000 per year.
What an insult to the mankind of America and the world.
Absolutely. So this is what you have to look forward to under the UN system. And this is why we're getting into this situation of how they want to control the water. See, their whole figures are unrealistic. It's the same thing with controlling of the resources such as water, Chris. You know yourself, there's no way we could realistically live, for example, on 10.5 gallons a day per water. But that's the number. If they had their way, that's the water that you would be limited to once they gain control of the resources, and that would be for showering, cooking, and everything else. And see, this is the problem. They want nothing better than to have all the resources for themselves so they can plunder it all they want to. But you, the average hardworking stiff out here, you're relegated to just resources that they can plunder off of and kick around any way they want to, and then you get the dregs.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line of this whole scenario that we live today, is control. And whether you like it or not, control will be put on all of us, and we aren't going to like that control, are we?
That's right, and I don't think if people only could realize, I mean, it doesn't take much of an imagination to realize how miserable that kind of a life would be. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist for me to figure it out, and it's high time people understand this for what it really is, because once it's in place, you're never going to get rid of it.
It will never go away.
That's right.
And there's the problem.
God bless you, Chris.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
Bye-bye, Sam. Yeah, it will never go away once it's in place. And we're surrounded by water, listeners. Water desalinization plants are very utilizable, listeners. And yet they don't cover that. They don't want us to have water. Here's the point. Control food and water, and you control populations. We'll be back. Continue. Keep in mind, tomorrow, William Roberts will be doing this broadcast tomorrow. By coincidence, I have this computer problem. But William will be filling my shoes tomorrow. He will do an admirable job. He does great work, great research, without a computer. And that is a benefit for all of us at this point in time. So, New Drive to Save Wetlands is vital to hear by Brad Knuckerbocker. He's on the staff of the Christian Science Monitor. And in the wake of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and with Wilma on the way, and keep in mind, this is dated October 19th, wetlands have suddenly become the hot political, scientific, and legal issue. Preserving wetlands along the Louisiana coast might have lessened the hurricane damage, scientists say. Preserving wetlands along the Louisiana coast might have lessened the hurricane damage. Now, see the setup scenario there, listeners? See how the setup's coming into place? As I come back to this article dated September 11th, once again, engineers predicting new look for Big Easy. While Americans watch the worst of New Orleans unfold, some experts insist the great jazz city can be rebuilt better than before, But cleaning up this mess likely will take years, with a new city slowly emerging in phases and wetlands replacing flood-prone areas. Homes may emerge on stilts or with concrete and masonry bases and lift them several feet off the ground, experts say. Anyway, there's more to this, but I want to get back to this article about wetlands because the bottom line is this is all part of rewilding America, listeners. It's all part of it. Preserving wetlands along the Louisiana coast might have lessened the hurricane damage, scientists say. So some planners are looking at how to restore them around the New Orleans and other Gulf Coast communities. Once again, I'm back to this article from the Christian Science Monitor, New Drive to Save Wetlands. At the same time, however, three new reports criticize the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for lax monitoring and enforcement of wetlands preservation. Congress is also delving into the subject by looking to strengthen wetlands protection. Even the U.S. Supreme Court is getting involved in key cases and could set policy for decades to come. These challenges suggest that the White House may not be keeping its wetlands pledge of no net loss environmentalist charge. Quote, they're not fully applying the Clean Water Act as it's written, end quote, says Julie Sibbing, who follows agriculture and wetlands issues for the National Wildlife Federation in Washington. And what is the National Wildlife Federation, people? A UN non-governmental organization? That's what they are. Look it up for yourself. Research the National Wildlife Federation, and you'll find, and I haven't checked it out, but you will find that they are a non-governmental organization of the UN system, the National Wildlife Federation. Recent reports highlight these concerns. The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, last week criticized the Army Corps, one of the main federal agencies charged with protecting wetlands, for not adequately tracking efforts by developers and others to mitigate the loss of wetlands. Uh-huh. In another report, the watchdog agency found that the Corps has not been adequately explaining its reasons for not assuming jurisdiction over disputed cases involving wetlands. Days earlier, the Environmental Integrity Project, that's the Environmental Integrity Project, a Washington watchdog group, examined Army Corps documents and concluded that the Corps has allowed the draining of thousands of acres of wetlands in a year. This raises questions about the no-net-loss policy promised by the first Bush administration and claimed by the current White House to be its own. For its part, the Bush administration stresses these steps it has taken to restore, improve, or protect 3 million acres of wetlands by 2009. In the 12 months leading up to Earth Day this year, April 22nd, the White House reported that 832,000 acres fit those categories. Quote, President Bush strongly supports using innovative programs and incentives to encourage private stewardship and cooperative conservation partnerships, end quote. Keep in mind, private stewardship comes with a price, a contract. And there's where the crux of the situation lies. And, you know, I was criticized for blaming past presidents for their actions. And I was criticized for not blaming Bush. Well, I blame Bush and all three Bushes, Prescott, George Herbert Walker, and George Walker. It goes way back, listeners. The Bush has a history, and naturally they have a history. They've all been members of the secret society called Skull and Bones. And we aren't privy to what goes on in Skull and Bones, are we? We're not privy to know what goes on with the Knights Templars or the Sovereign Order of Malta, the Knights of Malta, which is a militia for the Pope, which Pat Buchanan is a member. So we're all wrapped up into these directions, trying to put the blame on situations and people and organizations. But the people, most of these people are involved in secret societies. They've taken secret oaths to uphold directions that they may not normally think is logical to do, except that they've taken a solemn secret oath to work with each other to implement the directions that are mandated for them to do. And so this is the problem. And when Bush goes, someone else will take his place. Just like when Richard Nixon left, someone else took his place. And then someone else took Gerald Ford's place. And then we all thought Ronald Reagan was going to be the great savior. And what did he do? he made George Herbert Walker Bush's vice president, a history of drug dealing, listeners. Zapata Oil, way back in the 50s, were bringing drugs in through the offshore oil rigs, bypassing customs inspectors. That's been reported by many from the 1950s, Zapata Oil. And the Bay of Pigs connects to Bush as well. The selling out of the freedom fighters of Cuba who wanted to take back their country. So it's very, very ominous with the Bush family. And certainly this Bush is a real offspring of George Herbert Walker. And he's not making any friends today. And but what would have been like under Kerry? It would have been scary, as it would have been with Bush as well. I'm sorry, Gore, Al Gore, who's a devout communitarian communist. Anyway, back to this article, New Drive to Save Wetlands. And let me get back to what brought me into Bush. Quote, President Bush strongly supports using innovative programs and initiatives to encourage private stewardship and cooperative conservation partnerships, end quote, said James Conaton, chairman of the White House Council on Environmental Quality. In releasing the report, quote, working collaboratively with private landowners and local officials has proven remarkably effective in improving and sustaining America's wetlands, end quote. Once again, there's a contract that goes along with this, and we need to know more about that, these wetlands and the public-private partnerships that go along with this. Ms. Sibbing and other environmentalists question the accuracy of such reports, insisting that important areas of wetlands continue to be lost. And how does this happen? Wetlands play many roles. A filter to purify water supplies, wildlife habitat, including ecosystems that support more than a third of the nation's endangered plants and animals, shoreline erosion control, and buffers for storm surges from hurricanes and tropical storms. Once again, we just had three hurricanes, one on top of another, basically, just like five hurricanes in Florida last year. They can all be steered out of harm's way. That's why James McCanney, through his associates, engineered the technology to steer hurricanes out of harm's way. Well, now they're being used to steer them into harm's way, to devastate communities. And Florida, portions of Florida are totally devastated now. And people are without in many respects. So this is the situation, listeners, that we have. We have these directions in place to take us out, to move us to these sustainable communities with buffer zones around us, where we're not going to be allowed to live someday, or be in, or even walk on. And this is all under the guise of the Biodiversity Treaty. As I continue with this article entitled New Drive to Save Wetlands. But since the late 18th century, the U.S. has lost more than half its historic wetlands, drained for farmland, filled in for housing and industrial plants, or used as a dump for waste. California has lost more than 90% of its wetlands. I see. Is that bad? Is that bad to lose wetlands, listeners? What is a wetland? Quote, the increase in flood damages, drought damages, and declining bird populations are in part the result of wetlands degradation and destruction, end quote, says an Environmental Protection Agency document. This includes wetlands in the vast Mississippi River drainage flowing into storm-ravaged Louisiana. Now let's go back and dissect this quote from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. The increase in flood damages, drought damages, and the declining bird populations are in part, the result of wetlands degradation and destruction. Well, okay, storm damages, weather modification, the ability to keep it from raining so it doesn't create floods can be done. Drought damages, drought inducement is a reality that can be done. And the declining bird populations, where is that coming from? Could it be from aerial spraying over the decades? The last decade, aerial spraying? I don't think there was any aerial spraying going on before 1992, before the real Earth Summit. I don't think the barcodes were in place before 1992, monitoring what everybody purchases. And Joan Vion disclosed the family dependency ratio, and that is very, very important to consider. And understand that you need to support Joan Vion in her direction. We need to get her back on a regular basis. And you need to have the United Nations Global Straitjacket book written in 1999. Just vital. And that number for Joan Vion, 301-371-0541. Do yourself a favor, do your family a favor, do your country a favor. Order Joan Vion's The United Nations Global Straitjacket. It's vital. 301-371-0541. It won't cost you an arm and a leg to get that book. And she will appreciate it. I will appreciate it because she'll come back if you respond to my requests for you to purchase her book if you do not already have it. Otherwise, you support her by getting her newsletter for $40 a year. She has a lot of research behind her, a lot of information to get out to listeners and readers, and that's vital. 301-371-0541. So as we sort of dissect this new drive to save wetlands from the Christian Science Monitor, dated the 19th of October, listeners, let's continue. Army Corps officials say they don't disagree with the recent GAO criticisms, adding that they're already in the midst of crafting new policies and practices to address those criticisms. Particularly important may be the ways in which developers, farmers, home builders, and others are required to compensate for the loss of any wetlands by, for example, building vegetative buffers or paying for wetlands restoration elsewhere. Now, that's a lot of word speak right there. And I'm going to repeat this because we need to dissect this article and understand what they're trying to do here. And it's control your ability to own property. The Army Corps officials say they don't disagree with the recent GAO criticisms, and certainly that is very, very important because the General Accountability Office is someone that is not trustworthy because they're embroiled into the UN system as well, adding that they're already in the midst of creating new policies and practices to address those criticisms. Particularly important may be the ways in which developers, farmers, home builders, and others are required to compensate for the loss of any wetlands by, for example, building vegetative buffers or paying for wetlands restoration elsewhere. Keep in mind there was a project to build a hospital in the Riverside County area in California way back around 1998, and they had to stop that building for a special fly that habitated that area. They couldn't build that hospital because there was a protected endangered species of a certain fly that apparently was habitating that area in Riverside County. And this is the way it works. This is how it happens. This is how they can keep you from growing and keep you from improving your property. And there is the direct system and problem. Quote, we're already changing the way we do mitigation, in quote, says Mark Sudol, chief of the Army Corps' regulatory branch. Through the 1990s, the U.S. had made progress in protecting wetlands. From the 1950s through the 1970s, the U.S. lost an average of 458,000 acres a year. Is that really true? And what is the definition of a wetland, listeners? Does anybody have a definition of a wetland? By the 1990s, that loss had been reduced to 58,500 acres. Isn't a wetland anywhere where rain falls? And maybe I'm way off base on that one. I think we're talking about sheds, watersheds. I think that's where that's probably the chronology of that. A watershed is everywhere where rain falls. A wetland has to be different. So this is the situation, though. We've got to dissect these articles, not just me, but everyone, to see what they're building on. It's this environmental movement to control the use of land and to keep the ability of private ownership to be the way it should have been, that we would like it to be. And that's the crux of the situation. And another example comes to me regarding the Houston Toad down there that Tim told me about. The Houston Toad, where a man fenced off his pond to protect the Houston toad. Well, listen, when you have a pond on your property and you have it for a period of years and you keep it filled, animals are going to build on that pond. Animals are going to create and procreate. Frogs are going to show up. Turtles are going to show up. This happens because of the birds that fly and land onto the pond and drop the eggs off their feet. And this is the way things happen. Things build and grow because of you have a pond on your property. Animals come. If you build it, they will come, listeners. And that is the situation. But that's not any reason to control your property, as they want to do at this point in time, with the UN system and the Environmental Protection Agency and the State Department and their sustainable development partnerships. I'll be back to wrap it up. Stay with me.
I cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming.
And there they are once again, Poker Face. Every time I listen to them, I really pay attention to their lyrics. It's very, very refreshing to hear them. Pokerface.com is their website. Let me go back to this article once again. New drive to save wetlands and try and wrap it up. It says through the 1960s, and I'm backtracking a little bit. Through the 1990s, the U.S. has made progress in protecting wetlands. From the 1950s through the 70s, the U.S. lost an average of 458,000 acres a year. By the 1990s, that annual loss has been reduced to 58,500 acres. But Congress has made changes that jeopardize that progress, environmentalists say. Lawmakers for the past 3 years have cut by 40% funding for the program that helps farmers restore or set aside wetlands. At the same time, however, bills pending in the House and Senate would help protect wetlands by changing the Clean Water Act. Federal protections would be extended to, quote, waters of the United States, end quote, and not just, quote, navigable waters, end quote. This would include streams, sloughs, prairie potholes, natural ponds, and other water sources that natural scientists say are important to preserving wetlands. This legislative push is meant to address a 2001 U.S. Supreme Court ruling involving the Solid Waste Agency of Northern Cook County, Illinois, in which the court limited the power of the Army Corps to protect migratory birds in wetlands under the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. By accepting to review two new cases, the High Court could set the tone for wetlands policy for decades to come. In those two Michigan cases, developers are seeking to reverse lower court rulings that upheld the Army Corps' authority to prevent the filling in of protected wetlands. These are likely to be the first important environmental decisions by the new Chief Justice, John Roberts. And John Roberts was questioned when he was going to be put into place that he would have to rule on microchipping humans. I remember hearing about that one, too. So we're moving very, very steadily into this UN system, and we're accepting it, even by giving donations to Habitat, the Katrina Relief, for the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Relief. We aren't hearing much about that now. And apparently that website was set up on June 14th for the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Relief. Apparently that's the case. It might be on our website, I'm not sure. But at this stage of the game, we live a game, a set-up scenario, a movement to control mankind. And how are they doing it? Once again, wars, weather wars, environmental wars, that covers it all. Joan Vian disclosed the fact that there were tsunami bombers in the 1970s to drop tsunami bombs in the ocean. We've never heard about this on purpose. We've never heard about the convention to not use environmental modification on each other in the UN system from 1977. We've never heard about that. So the move is well underway. The educational system's been controlled and under control since the 1930s. The drugging down process started in the 1960s and continues to this day. William Roberts will be with the broadcast tomorrow. Look forward to that, and hopefully I'll talk to you Monday. Good afternoon.